Do you hear his voice this morning? If you listen, he's calling your name. He wants you to know this morning that he's pleased with you. He's pleased with your faithfulness. He's pleased with your efforts. The struggles are not in vain. The difficulties that you've been through, it's not for no reason. It's not a waste of time. And while he didn't bring the struggle, he didn't bring the difficulty or the hardships into our lives, he's used that to prove us, and he's pleased with our faithfulness today. So what's in my heart this morning is, we've brought him pleasure. He's pleased with the prayer center, with the people of the prayer center, with the work of the prayer center. He's pleased with those who've been faithful. He says, for those who have struggled, I'm not displeased, I'm not angry, I'm not disappointed, but I continue to beckon you, call you, come unto me, come to the next place of my spirit, receive of me and walk close and see that I have for you something far greater than anything you could accomplish in your own strength or in your own time. So as you give your life to me, as you give your time to me, as you give your efforts unto me, you'll see that I'll bring my grace and I'll multiply those efforts with my power, my anointing, and you'll see that by my spirit, you'll be able to accomplish the things that you've only dreamed of and thought could never come to pass. So to those who have been faithful, continue. Be faithful. To those who have struggled and those who have hit obstacles, yield yourself to me. Give up your own fleshly efforts and allow me by my spirit to help you. And you'll see that you too can walk in the freedom and the anointing that I have provided for those who are faithful unto me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're so good to us. Thank you for calling our name. Thank you for calling us to a higher place. Thank you for being with us today. Heavenly Father, we just give this service to you, to your spirit. We ask, Lord, that you do what you will here, that the words that I speak this morning will not be my words, but your words. The things that are done in this place, Lord, let them be done by your spirit. We thank you, Lord, that your glory is present in every service at the prayer center. We thank you, Father, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised, and your works are done in our midst. We thank you for that, Lord. For everything you're doing right now, and that what you're about to do, we are careful, Father, to give you glory, to give you honor, and give you praise for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be known of God and to know God. I'm excited about the service today. There's been a anticipation in my spirit the last few days. Just I know part of it is I have a lot of things going on in my own life that I know God's doing and shifting, and seasons are changing, and so there's an excitement, but yet there's something God is doing in this place that is exciting. I believe that we're entering into the next place that He has for us in the realm of the Spirit, and we just don't know yet what it's going to bring. But I believe that it's glorious. The Bible says we change from glory to glory. And never we don't go backwards. He takes us forward. Amen? So we're going to continue today talking about life in the Spirit. And to start out, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. We'll begin in verse 9. Now, a lot of times I use my phone when I'm reading and studying, but I still like my paper Bible. I'm preaching. I read out of the New King James, but I preach mostly out of the King James. But anyway, King James, Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we're not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." So he says, if you're in Christ, or if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. And yet here I am. I'm standing in front of you. I'm able to function in this world, in this body. And yet he says, if Christ is in me, my body is dead because of sin. So obviously he's not talking about my physical body. Tangible body. So what's he speaking of? He said later on, he talks about the deeds of the body. You through the Spirit, you mortify the deeds of the body, and in that way you live. If my body is dead, my spirit is life, not just alive. So there's another scripture that says the body without the spirit is dead. So anyone who's living on this earth, they have a spirit. But this says that if Christ is in me, my spirit is life. And there's life in the Spirit. And it puts to death those things that my body, the nature that my body has in it, that inherited from the first man, Adam, after the fall, that nature can be put to death if I can learn to walk after the Spirit. I think too many times we want to live free from the flesh, and we focus on getting rid of those things in our life that are not godly and that are deeds of the flesh, but we don't put enough emphasis on the things of the Spirit. And when we do that, we become frustrated because flesh cannot eradicate flesh. We can discipline ourselves. There's a lot of people in the world, they've learned how to quit smoking and quit drinking and quit doing a lot of the addictions that their flesh was addicted to. They were able to overcome them But really what they did is they disciplined that, suppressed it, put it down, and with an act of their own will, walked free from it. But this is talking about there is a place in Him where there is life that flows from within me that I no longer have to be bound by the things of the flesh, and not just the addictions or the sins, but even the desires of the natural mind. The flesh wants to be in control. Your natural brain wants to be in control and wants to be able to dictate to you how you behave and how you act, the things that you do. But God is calling us into a life in the Spirit where we walk according to that nature that's been put on the inside of us the day we were born again. Let's turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he had some wisdom. He recognized there's no way that you could not be from God. But Jesus answered and he said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, or where it wants to, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So Jesus is giving a very simple lesson here, and he's giving an analogy of our natural birth, and saying, when you were born from your mother's womb, you were born of flesh, right? Everybody here, our parents, our flesh, their flesh and blood. There's a physical activity that has to take place to reproduce children. And then that birth takes place and we're born of flesh. And so he's not just talking about our body, but the nature that we have is the nature of the flesh. It comes from the lineage that we're from. But he said there's an opportunity where we can be born again. And I talked a little bit last week about my family and the heritage that I have. And there's a lot of Christianity and a lot of good, God-fearing men and women in my family tree. And yet, I didn't hear much about being born again. We're in a denomination that almost believed that if you're born into a Christian home, then you're a Christian. That's not exactly true, but that was kind of the idea, and you were raised in a Christian way. Now, most of those people did become Christians at some point in their life, but like my brother, I don't know that he could point back to a day that he said, this was the day I was born again. Now, there's a day that he really made a commitment to God. I'm sure he has all kinds of testimonies, but he grew up understanding that Jesus is Lord. But that doesn't negate the fact that there has to be a time in which we go from death to life. Because just knowing those facts and understanding that Jesus is Lord is different than experiencing a new birth. There has to be a change in our life where we go from darkness to light. There's got to be a moment that we can look back on, just like the day of our birth. I can say on August 6, 1974, I came into this world. And I can also look back to a day, and honestly, I don't know the date and time that many people do have, but I can still remember as a young child at 4 years old, I can remember walking down the aisle of Children's Church and kneeling down with my friend Danny and saying a prayer, the sinner's prayer. And even my wonderful, sorry, Lisa, my wonderful sister on the way home from church, her being 7 years older than me at about 11, she's like, I was telling them my experience and said, today I asked Jesus into my heart. And she would say, you don't even know what that means. And I didn't know what to tell her. I just, I do know what it means. He's in my heart. Well, how do you know? You know, and there was this little sibling rivalry going on, but yet I still remember getting home that day, my family getting out of the car. I was the last person in there, and I said, Jesus, I know what it means. You're in my life. You're in my heart. And don't tell me that a four-year-old can't make that decision, because I did it. And I know that something happened on the inside of me. And I know that something changed. And I know that I had a compassion and a love for other people that I didn't know where it came from. I didn't understand it, because I still was relating to the nature of the flesh. And you know, you can live your entire life being born again. You could even be filled with the Holy Ghost and still relate more to the man of the flesh than the man of the spirit. But Jesus said, if we're going to go where He's called us to be, if we're going to see the kingdom of God, first of all, we have to be born again. But He said, just like it is with the wind, don't know where it's come from or where it's going, so it is. I know I can quote it, but I like to read it to make sure I don't mess it up. The wind blows where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof. I should have used New King James. But canst not tell from whence it comes or whether it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Why? Because the natural man cannot know the things of the Spirit. And if I will rely on my natural mind for all of my life, I'll miss out on what the Spirit of God has for me. But there's a way that I can learn to walk by the Spirit man within me. And I can be so in tune with that Spirit that my body is simply transportation to where I need to go. I can learn to operate out of the brain of my spirit. Because the spirit man understands the things of the natural, but the natural man doesn't understand the things of the spirit. So I can rely on my spiritual brain and still be able to function in the natural world, because I have access to it through my body. I can rely on my spiritual brain, and it will still allow my natural brain to function. Sorry, I'm not a doctor, but those things in my brain to do what they need to do, so that my body will continue to move and work, and I can still articulate and speak out the things, even though it's coming from my spiritual understanding. I can speak it into the natural world and create change around me. I thought it was wonderful the way that Alan taught last Sunday about the natural mind and the spiritual mind. I've been studying these things, and it's really been stirring in my spirit. We've taught and learned about spirit, soul, and body, oftentimes in the faith movement and in the great teachers that we've had in our life. They've taught us these things, but I still feel like there's a understanding. There's a basic understanding that we've been given, but there's something deeper that God wants us to walk in, where it's a little more simple, where we're either walking after the spirit or we're walking after the flesh. See, you can divide all those things up and try to figure it out, but the bottom line is we must be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Be renewed to spiritual things in the way that things are done by the Spirit of God. Now, in my job, I'm a technician. And I've learned a lot of things in the natural. With my natural understanding, I've learned all kinds of methods and ideas. Brandon's a technician. And you know, I've had the opportunity to work on some jobs with Brandon, but you know, there's a certain way that we do things. But yet, even though we have a method that we follow, each individual has their own way of doing it. And I had the opportunity of Brandon being with me on a job not too long ago, and I have my way of doing things and he has his way of doing things. And so Brandon got to watch me and critique my efforts and explain to me different ways that I could do it. And I did it and it was okay. But you know what? That's something that Brandon learned. That's something that has been birthed from Brandon. So it works for Brandon. And it works every time for Brandon because he has mastered that. It's become a technique for him. You know, in the things of God, there are things that we have to learn by the Spirit that we walk in that might be different than what someone else walks in. Might be different than they are going to be. It's going to be different. I don't teach the way Gary Carpenter teaches. I don't teach the way Alan Taylor teaches. I don't teach the way Dave Roberson teaches. I teach the way that God has, the way that I have wielded that gift that he's put in me. And each one of us has this opportunity. And the way that we wield, we can either wield the things of the Spirit by the natural mind or by the spiritual mind. And there's some preachers, they've always wielded the things, the calling of God with the natural mind and based it upon how many people they can get to show up and how much money they can raise and all of those things. And some of that is not wrong. It just simply limits what God is able to do because they've done it in their own strength and with their own abilities using the natural mind. But see, when we tap into the things of the Spirit, we take that desire and that calling that God has given us, and instead of trying to fulfill it in ourselves and in our own strength, we give that back to Him and we say, not by my might, not by my strength, but by your Spirit, Lord, you bring these things to pass in my life. And when we do that, we walk after the things of the Spirit, and it may not look at all like it's ever going to happen because He's dealing with us and putting to death the deeds of the body. Because I know for me, I learned most of what the way that I function and most of what I do in life, I learned with my natural mind. And so the Holy Spirit leads me in my spirit to things that will put to death the natural mind and the natural way of thinking. I think it's wonderful that we have examples here at the prayer center and we get to watch each other walk into the things of God and demonstrate how the Holy Spirit leads in different ways. Because for some people, I think they hear the testimony of Dave Roberson and they think, well, hey, heck, this guy, he just quit his job and in 3 months he is in the ministry. That's pretty amazing. Maybe they must have only heard one message, you know, because it wasn't that often, but Pastor Dave would talk about the early days. He'd talk about some of the struggles that he had to go through. He'd talk about the meetings of, you know, less than a dozen people really meeting him and his family, you know. But what was happening during that time, in my opinion, God was putting to death the deeds of the flesh. He was putting to death in Dave, if you will. He was putting to death the ability for him to produce this thing in his own self and forced him to have to rely on the Spirit and see what the Spirit would do for him. And I'm not trying to exalt Pastor Dave, but there's few people I know on the earth that would be disciplined enough to do what this man did. You try it. Don't really, but you think it's tough to work a job 8 hours a day? Go try being in the prayer closet for 8 hours a day. See what happens to you. Your natural mind wants control, and as long as you can give it some boundaries and tell it some things it can do, he's happy. But when you say, no, you're going to shut down for a while, and we're just going to sit here, I'm going to go into the Holy of Holies, and you're going to wait out here as I pray and talk to my Father. Your natural mind try to make you think you're going crazy. But as we walk in the Spirit, as we give ourselves more and more over to Him, thank God. Thank God for Pastor Dave. Again, it's not to exalt him, but it's an amazing truth that he in his own words, basically stumbled upon almost by accident, just trying to get through the hours that he had given himself when he quit his job, pray in English for a while, and just out of boredom, began praying in the Holy Ghost, began praying in other tongues, you know, hour after hour, struggling with thoughts in his own mind of, I don't even know if I'm supposed to be doing this. Don't even know if this is legal. Don't even know how this works. But I'm just going to do it because he's stubborn enough that he wasn't going to give up. And see, God, he knows each one of us. And I don't even know, Dave doesn't even say necessarily that God was leading him to do that. But it was all that he knew to do. There was a hunger on the inside of him. But thank God, he didn't just take that hunger and try to bring it to pass in his own strength. Thank God for his ignorance. He didn't know what to do. And so he was forced to rely on the Holy Spirit. And see, I am all for education. I believe that it's a great tool that we have available to us. There are many ministers who have doctorates in divinity, and it's wonderful. But it can never replace the walk of the Spirit. Because there's one thing that college can't teach you. There's one thing that man can never put inside of you, and that is that leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life, that walk, that life in the Spirit. And when we yield ourselves to that life that's in us, then we can begin to fulfill what he has. And there's an illumination that takes place and a path that begins to be lit before us. See, I don't know how it works for everybody else, but I can. All I know is in my life, I went through a lot of frustrations with the call of God that I had on me because I continued to put my value and my worth in whether or not I could fulfill that. And see, God, it's kind of like he's hired you to work for him. And so he's providing everything that's necessary for you to do the job. And really, he just wants you to show up. I work for a company where they provide my vehicle, they provide my tools, they provide my uniform, and they provide the training to do what they want me to do. All I have to do is show up and do what they say. And that's really how the Lord wants us to be. When he puts this desire and this vision on the inside of us, sometimes it's so much bigger than what we are, and it's so exciting and so inviting and so big and spectacular that we want it to happen. But our flesh wants it to happen so that we can be seen. Or the natural mind wants it to happen so that it can make a name for itself. And the Holy Spirit wants us to lay all of that down and say, look, I'm just here. I just work here. What do you want me to do, Lord? Let him provide the tools necessary. And, you know, on my job, there's days that they ask me to do things that don't produce anything for the company, and it seems like a waste of time. But it's not my duty to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go do something that's going to produce for you. Because they have a reason for me doing that. There's times, you know, the natural mind says, none of this looks like what the Lord has called you to. Why are you doing it? That's when we have to rely on the Spirit within us and say, this is what my boss says. It's time to go pray. It's time for me to spend the next 6 months doing nothing but praying and being before my Father. Now, you don't want to do that unless he's telling you to do it, because you'll go broke. But you may be working a natural job, and you're thinking, I know I'm called to the ministry. What am I doing here? This doesn't have anything to do with my call, Lord. Why am I here? But all the time, he's saying, look, you just show up to work, son. just show up. I'll take care of it. Don't worry. You're not wasting time. You're not losing any of your future by giving me your present. See, there's a fear that I'm 46 years old, almost 47. There's a desire in me for the continent of Africa. That's a huge, huge ask. That's a huge thing. How could that ever come to pass? I'm 46. If you look at my natural life, you say, you would never say this man must be getting ready to go to Africa. I've had these conversations with the Lord. But see, the way God leads me in the direction that He's taking me is different than the direction that He leads Pastor Allen or that He leads Gary. And I think it's important that we recognize that you don't have to quit your job to prove that you're sold out to what God has called you to do. Just because I'm not preaching every week or every day or traveling all over the world, it doesn't make the calling any less valid in my life to be called to Africa. Standing here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, makes my calling no less valid. And there's things God has said to me that I was sure when certain events happened in my life that this was the launch of it and it was going to happen. What He had said was going to happen, only for nothing to happen. But you know, God wasn't the one disappointed. He already knew that. And if we can learn to be yielded to the Spirit, it really doesn't matter what the results are. When God opens doors and wonderful things happen, we can celebrate and yet still continue walking in the life that we have right now until He brings us to the next place that He has for us. And sometimes we'll say, well, it's because I wasn't ready. And we can be under condemnation feeling like we're not ready. But you know, you're not supposed to be ready. My daughter hopes she's not ready to go out and minister every day and do all the things that are necessary for a minister to do. But she's not supposed to be ready. She's still being developed. She's still growing. She's still accessing the things of God. She's still learning. And we begin to compare ourselves with other people and we say, I'm such and such an age and that person such and such an age. He's 10, 20 years younger than me and look what he's doing and look what I'm doing. But it doesn't matter because we're all in the same line of grace. And I can celebrate that my little brother is out there doing great works for God because I know that I'm in the same line, have the same grace on my life. And the day is coming when God's using me the same that He uses him. And whether I see it in a great ministry like he sees it or I see it at Walmart when I give the lady a hug and say, Jesus loves you, it's the same grace and the same anointing and the same God that we serve. And we're all working in the same kingdom. Don't mean to yell at you, but I'm get excited. Hallelujah. Find myself yelling a little more than I used to. It's okay. All right, we're going to go to one more scripture, I believe. 1 Peter chapter 5. And when we begin, it'll be verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, this is the New King James. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of grace, may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So we're told here to submit ourselves to one another, to humble ourselves before God. Be sober and vigilant. Why? Because we have an adversary. And the enemy is out there trying to see whom he can devour. And we resist him by casting our cares upon the Lord. By casting all of our inabilities unto him. We humble ourselves and we realize, I can't carry this on my own. But the part of this that's always been curious, and Dave's done such a good job of teaching it, when he goes on and he says, the God of all grace who's called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. I always wanted to take that phrase out. You know, why would God wait until I suffered? When we read it, it sounds like God's standing there going, okay, just a little bit longer. Twiddling his thumbs, you know. Oh, just a little longer. All right, now you suffered enough. Let me help you. But that's really not what he's saying. Peter's saying this. He said, humble yourselves before God. And when you do that, he's going to come with his grace. He's going to encourage you. He's going to establish you. He's going to strengthen you. But the problem is, we suffer in the humbling. We suffer in the casting the cares upon him. We suffer trying to accomplish these things in our own strength and in our own way. And we try to carry this thing on our own. We say, I can do it. And as long as you can do it, then you don't need God. But he's saying, humble yourself and realize you can't do this. And when we realize that, he comes. And his grace, it establishes us, strengthens us, perfects us, it settles us. We're like, wow, I can do this. Not because of me, but because of him. I can reach the continent of Africa. You know, in my zeal when I was young, first had that calling to Africa, I quit my job. I didn't even know who Dave Roberson was, but I had that desire was so great in me. I was sure, since he called me to Africa, that somebody's going to show up with a ticket and we're going to go. I didn't even have a passport. I didn't know. Didn't even begin to look at how you would do any of those things. I just thought, well, he's going to show up. Not have visions of people helping me and meeting different people on the plane and how God was going to open these doors. It was going to be awesome. And thousands of people were going to show up and people were going to be healed and all of these things. And, you know, so all right, quit my job. I'm going to go on a fast. Mostly because I don't have any food. And in my refrigerator, there's a can of juice and a pitcher of water. I was single, lived in an all-bills-paid apartment, looked like an all-bills-paid apartment. And pretty soon, I had to move out of my apartment. Not because somebody showed up with a ticket, but I didn't have no money to pay the rent. And I thought, God, what's going on? You said I'm going to Africa. And finally, just out of frustration, I went and got another job, and I said, well, what was that all about? I guess I missed it. And just totally put that aside and said, well, I'll just work. Just do what God told me. I'll do my best to hear what God has to say, but I guess I don't hear God very well because I screwed that one up really bad. And I was disappointed. And see, the Bible says, if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap from the Spirit life. But if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. And even though I had the right intention, I wanted to serve God. My natural mind wanted to tell me how I was going to do it. And my natural mind wanted to say when it was going to happen and how it was going to happen. And it wanted to imagine these great and wonderful things. And here's the thing, God will do great and wonderful things. He'd do miraculous things and open up doors that we could not hardly ever imagine. But most of the time, it's step by step, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. He doesn't normally just dump a international ministry upon a person. Usually when you hear those testimonies, you're only hearing one little snippet of that person's life. And you didn't realize the price they paid to get to that place when they got the phone call that said, yeah, come preach on Benny Hinn's service today. It wasn't a kid that just quit his job waiting in his apartment for somebody to call him. Most of the time, it was someone that had paid a price and had walked and followed the leadership of the Spirit. And there's a danger even in, I'm going to say ministry, there's a danger even when we're in the midst of fulfilling what God has called us to. We still have to be humbled. We still have to continue to humble ourselves and allow God to bring His exaltation in due time. Because it's easy when the doors begin opening and things begin happening for us, whether it be in the realm of ministry or be in business or in whatever the calling that God has put on your life, when it begins to happen, it's easy to revert back to the natural way of thinking and come up with ideas on how to make it successful. But see, that's the point when we have to remind ourselves that the enemy is there like a roaring lion waiting to see whom he can devour. And whatever you're holding on to, when you begin to take the responsibility and the care of whatever it is you're doing upon yourself, you're making yourself devourable by the enemy. See, he said he wants you to cast all of your care upon him, that he can lavish his care upon you, that he can take care of it. He can bring you where he wants you to go. We come to the place where man cannot provide for us what we need. When we come to that place where man cannot provide it, where we can't provide it ourselves, that's when God can come and provide for us those things of the Spirit that can come from no other source, no other way. And that life that is within us wells up and leads us and takes us. Just like the wind blows, you hear it, you can feel the effects of it. But if you had to describe it to someone who'd never experienced it, it'd be a difficult thing to describe. So it is with the man of the Spirit. In my natural mind, it's difficult for me to describe the ways or to defend the ways that the Holy Spirit is leading me. Because if you're trying to understand what I'm doing with your natural mind, you're never going to understand how this is going to produce the call that God has on my life. Just like you can see the effects of the wind, you don't see the wind. You can see the effects of the Spirit on a person's life, but you don't necessarily see what's happening in the moment. And that's why it's important that we learn to discern things by the Spirit and not with our own natural mind, because you don't necessarily know the next step that you're to take. One example that I shared a few weeks ago, and I'll probably close with this. In 2019, Solomon went with me, and we went to Kenya and Uganda, Africa. And I've been to Africa a number of times. And really, the way in which I was able to get to Africa was really in the natural mind wouldn't really make any sense at all. I had tried with my own understanding and in my own strength to make contacts and to find ways to go. My brother Doug, he was helping a church out for a time in Cushing, Oklahoma. And he met a man there, a retired farmer, preacher. So one day, actually it was at a conference here, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to preach in Cushing, Oklahoma. And he gave me some specifics that I normally don't get from the Lord. And I thought, well, okay, I'll do it, you know. I struggle in sharing these things because it normally doesn't come like this, okay? I'm just telling you. I was on a Wednesday and the Lord said, next Thursday night, I want you to preach in Cushing, Oklahoma. And I'll just be honest with you, I've missed it lots of times when he's given me specifics, but I'd heard that. And I went to lunch with my brother, and I said, you know, I said, Doug, I think the Lord's telling me he wants me to preach. He said, well, there's a man that has a service on Thursday nights. I bet you he'd love to have you come. And so I did. I went, and I ministered there, and began a relationship with this man that has lasted until today. We became close friends, and we're not close in age at all, but yet somehow in the Spirit, God has hooked us up, and amazing things happen. But I didn't know this when I met him, but this man has 20 plus years, now it's probably 30 or more years, relationship with an established ministry in Kenya, Africa. And one day he just said to me, he said, Hans, I think it's time we go to Africa. And you know, in myself, I thought, well, I don't know. You know, I know it's what God's called me to do, but is this really the way that he's opening the door? And everything came into place, and we were able to go. And it didn't really, in the natural, who would go to Cushing, Oklahoma to find a way to Africa? Who would go to an old retired farmer and see to establish something that would open up doors? If you met him, you would never think this man. It's amazing the people that he knows when it comes to ministry and the contacts that he has. But he's a humble person, and he was able to bring me there. And when he did, the Lord said to me, he says, you're going there as a son being introduced by your father. And because of that relationship, I've been able to establish relationships in Kenya that never would have happened any other way. They received me in a way that they couldn't have not have received me if it wasn't for Glenn, because they know Glenn. And they know the endorsement from a retired farmer was more effective than from Reinhard Bonnke, the great evangelist. See, the natural mind says, reach out to these people who've done it. You know, find out how they did it and just do the same thing and it's going to work. The sad part is it might work, but it's never going to have the impact that it'll have when you follow the Spirit. When you fulfill things by the Spirit. And then in 2020, once again, the Lord spoke to me very specifically. And never in my life had I heard something that specific. And I suppose I was afraid. I wouldn't have said that when I heard it. But I believe, looking back, that's really what it is, a fear of not being able to do something. Because the Lord said to me, he said, I want you to go to Kenya. I want you to leave January the 29th, and I want you to come back February the 29th. And I didn't tell anyone for a while. And I had a dream where I told someone in the dream, and it was someone the Lord had already told me to tell him, and I didn't tell him. So I had a dream that I told him, so I finally did. And he says, yeah, it's God. But I could not get out of my natural mind enough to receive what I needed in order to take that trip, and I didn't go. And as you know, the virus hit. We made plans in January 2020. I made my own plans. And I said, my wife is going to go, my kids are going to go, my sister's going to go, her husband's going to go, and we're going to go in June. I thought, I'm still going, Lord. But all that got shut down. See, God knew. He knew ahead of time all that was going to happen. And I don't take any kind of condemnation in that. I really receive hope in that, knowing that I can hear God. I can know what his will is for my life. I just still have some things to get rid of so that I can walk in it and fulfill it completely. Because all of the responsibilities of life began to mount up in my natural mind and tell me why I couldn't be gone for a month and why I couldn't have the money to go and why this and why that. But if I humble myself before God and I cast my cares upon him, then after I've suffered with that for a while, his grace, the God of all grace, perfect me, establish me, strengthen me, settle me, so that I can walk in all that he has for us. All right. We are going to Africa this year, because after all of that I feel like I messed up, the Lord's still gracious, and he said, I want you to go in June of this year. And he said, you're going to go to Uganda, and you won't step foot on the nation of Kenya. Didn't understand it at that time, but as of right now, Kenya doesn't even allow anyone in their borders, which just happened a few months ago. And yet Uganda's still open, and as long as you have a negative COVID test, you can go. So when we walk in the Spirit, there's life. He'll lead, guide, direct us. So be praying for us. With that, let's just pray and dismiss. Father, we just thank you so much for that life within us. The life of the Spirit. Help us, Lord, to follow that in every aspect of our day-to-day lives and in what you've called us to do. And Lord, as we continue on this day, I know there's more excitement. I know there's more fun to be had even in this place, Lord. And I know there's more for you to do. And so I pray that your anointing be upon Pastor Allen as he brings the message, and that we were able to celebrate as a family. Be with us, Lord, as we dismiss now, and help us be back here again. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you at 10 o'clock.